I just want to read a passage from Revelation chapter 1. It was Sunday, and I was in the Spirit, John the Apostle says. Praying, I heard a loud voice behind me, trumpet clear and piercing. Write what you see into a book, send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. There's no one size fits all. None of these churches got the same message from John. They all got different letters. Because every church has a unique culture. And just as each one of you have a unique DNA, every church has a unique culture. So what I'm wanting to share with you tonight in the next 20 minutes or so is a part of 3CI's unique culture. It may not be the culture that you come from. It may not maybe a completely new culture to you, but it's a culture which will trumpet loud and clear over this local body. Ephesians 1, in the Message, starting in verse 20, Paul writes, "All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from the dead and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments. No name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all. He has the final word on everything. And at the center of all of this, Christ rules the church." You see, it's not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything, everywhere with his presence. The church is not a peripheral part of a believer's life. The church is not peripheral in God's thinking. The church is at the very center of everything that God does in this phase of history. The church is God's plan A on the earth until Christ returns. There is no context for the life of a believer outside of the fellowship of a church with its elders and deacons, as Paul said in his greeting to the Philippian church. You can't read the New Testament and make much sense of it outside of it, its context being the local church. Almost every letter in the New Testament besides the Gospels were addressed to a local body of believers that fellowshiped together, worshiped together, prayed together, did life together, ate in each other's homes, lived in each other's homes, lived in each other's personal space, helped raise each other's kids, married one another. This is life within a local church, and it's very much a culture of 3CI. This is not a center. This is not an organization or a business. This is a family. This is a body of believers, knitted by the Holy Spirit, woven together, and as your fingers are joined to your hand and your arm to your body, so believers are joined supernaturally by God to a body to function properly and grow together and minister one to another. That's what makes a family, and that's very much a culture in this local body. 1 Peter 2 says, "And you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood." Spiritual stones. You know, I look at this brickwork. We're busy building a house at the moment, or renovating significantly, and there's lots of rubble, lots of loose bricks lying around. But the order of a wall, where bricks are built together, that makes something you can live in. And I look, one of the curses of this city is believers that are not built into as living stones into a house. It's when we are built together into a house that we transform from this chaotic pile of loose bricks into something that forms something that others find shelter in. A house, a spiritual house, living stones. That's how God sees us. Ephesians 4, "Rather speaking the truth in love," Paul writes, "we are to grow up." Grow up. "In every way into him who is the head, into Christ, for whom the whole body joined. Body. You know, if you think about Paul right through the New Testament and you read, he appeals to pictures frequently to try to explain what it is that he sees in the church. And the pictures that he uses, one of the strongest pictures he uses to try and give us an image of what this thing church is the human body. And here he does it again. From whom the whole body joined and held together. Joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Those words are phenomenal. Joined. Knit together, grow. That's what local church life is supposed to be. Romans 12 from the Message, Paul writes again, in this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole. You don't bring significance to this body by your joining it. I'm sorry. This body brings significance to you. We find the fullness of what God wants for our lives together as a body. Various parts, each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. I share this story often at these things, and I'll share it again. And I'm a vet, trained as a veterinarian. I teach veterinary science at the University of Pretoria at Ornis de Poort. And many, many years ago, when I did a lot of work at the outpatient section, the teaching hospital, we used to get fairly regularly on weekends, the boerder from Pretoria North would bring their basket of boerboer puppies with long tails. And they were 3 or 4 days old, and they wanted the tails cut off. Want you vet mos a boerboel moenie 'n stert hê nie. A decent boerboel doesn't, like a boxer, doesn't have a tail, or a Rottweiler for that matter. So in those days, we were allowed to crop tails, dock tails. We don't do it anymore. It's not legal. But in those days, we did. And we'd line these dogs up, and the students would hold the puppies like this, with their faces pushed in their chests, and they'd pull the tail out, and I'd take a big pair of shears and just chop 8 or 9 tails off. The puppies would scream. There'd be a little squirt of blood. And depending on how much money the guy had, you'd put a stitch in or you just left it. And on Sunday night, they never had money, so they just left them. And at the end, you'd be left with a basket of 9 puppies and 9 very sweet, soft, cooling off little tails on the table. But disconnected from the body, these tails had lost all their life. The dog's means of expression had just been removed. That dog will never wag its tail. And let me say this to you, the dog gave meaning to the tail. The tail didn't give meaning to the dog, but cut off from that dog's bum, there was no way that that tail was ever going to wag. And I look at many believers not connected, joined, knit into the life of local bodies, and I think to myself, there's a docked tail. Lifeless, disconnected. Unable to give it, the body unable to give expression. Tails were meant to wag. And believers are meant to wag. They're meant to display the joys and the glories and the nature of God. And as disconnected believers not joined to a body, lifeless, cooling off, and finally rotting, that's what happens. Don't be one of those tails. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much. What do those tails amount to? Not much. Some of the students would take them and make keyrings of them, but they don't last very long. You wouldn't amount to much, would you? You wouldn't amount to, it's joined and knit it into the life of a local body that you amount to something. It's within the context of a local body that the gift set that God has given you, the calling that is upon your life, the unique DNA spiritually that God has woven into you when you were woven and put together in your mother's womb, it's within this family context that that thing finds its best expression. Not as a lone ranger, disconnected, sheriff-type person, but humbling yourself. You know, the one thing that you can't afford to do in joining this church is come with previous spiritual CVs and think that they're going to count. I came, when I joined this church, my wife and I have been part of this church for as long as Stephen has. Yeah, a long time. And, well, in today's world, a long time. And I had been 20 years in a mega church, and I had what I thought was a very significant CV from my previous church life. And I thought they'd really appreciate me bringing that, and all my experience and all that I knew, the arrogant little guy that I was. I mean, and I very quickly learned, you better leave that at the door. There's no life in that. You come and you join yourself to this body as a son at the table, as a member of this family, and just see what God begins to do in and through your life. So we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts of Christ. You find yourself 6 months, a year in, excellently formed and beautifully functioning as part of a body, bringing the body bringing meaning to the call that's upon your life, giving bringing meaning to the gifts that He placed within you. The body bringing meaning and helping you find the expression that you've longed for. God will never, I get the feeling, allow for a man or a woman all by themselves to find the fullness of what He has for them. As difficult as family life may be, how many of you ever got to the point when you were being raised in your homes of packing your bags and saying, I can't handle this mom and dad. I'm going to another house. I'm leaving. I don't like this mom and dad. My friend has a much nicer home than I do. You pack your bags and you get to the front gate and you didn't have the courage to go any further. Sometimes family life is like that. But you know what happens to kids who don't grow up in homes? What becomes of them? They learn no manners. They renegade. They become misfits. That, as difficult as family life may be at times, that's what's prevented. By doing the hard work of getting along with each other and finding your place within this body and realizing that this body brings meaning to you as a believer and gives you a place in a family without which you will never find the fullness of what God has for you. Even within the Trinity, there's plurality. And within the life of a believer, there will always be plurality. And anybody is not homogenous. You don't consist just of fingers. There's all sorts of shapes and forms of bodies here. And everybody has all the same bits, but you're all put together slightly differently and all look different. I'm convinced that God despises homogeneity and despises singularity and individualism. God loves heterogeneity, which means fruit salad, and God loves plurality, which means many all together in one pot. That's how God has always does things with a nation, with a family, within the Trinity. It's never just one. It's everybody together working it out slowly and as inefficiently as it may be and as difficult as it may be at times. It's God's process. It's God's way. There is no other way. And that's God's way, the local church life way. So what is the picture that you carry in your heart of the church? I've written a few things down which I'd like to read you. This is the picture that I carry, which comes from years of New Testament reading and years of being. I've never known my life as a believer outside of local church. I've always been part of a local church. If I look at this early church from the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, there was something fantastic about the corporateness of their lives. They were together. There was a living togetherness of the saints that stretched way beyond a stiff Sunday morning meeting. If church has been reduced in your mind to a Sunday morning meeting, that's poor. That's not church. Church is not a Sunday morning. It's an important part of our lives as believers. But church is not a Sunday morning meeting. Church is what we do together as saints every day of the week. There's something so much more than just meetings. The church was people, a living, submitted to Jesus body of people. Many parts making one body. Something wonderfully covenantal, corporate, apostolic, brave, flexible, Holy Spirit energized, living, reproductive, growing, spontaneous, apparently unorganized, supernatural, simple, free of the baggage of man's systems and politics and ego, dynamic, always in motion, internally governmentally strong, so not of this world and yet so absolutely changing of this world, so utterly countercultural and yet thoroughly rooted in history and culture, so attractive, so not about the individual and yet made up of individuals, so changing of the lives that formed it, something so aware of the future and so drawn into the future and yet turning the now world on its head. Something that was at first glance looked like it was without any structure, and yet on closer inspection had a God-inspired structure like no man could ever put in place or maintain. They lived their lives through local church. How did the early church survive all the persecution that it went through? I'm convinced that one of the building blocks that God has put here on earth to allow survival of saints is the local church. I would love to be part of a church where the people in it so believed in Jesus' building of it that they actually ordered their lives around it and in it and through it. There's no ways that we can catch a New Testament picture of the local church and not have it profoundly affect your life personally and your diary and your wallet and the way your kids are raised and the way you do your marriage and the way you do your business and the way you think and the way you do your friendships and the way that you run your bank accounts or account. Local church ought to affect, and it will affect, every area of your life. God will infiltrate and affect and profoundly influence and bring to maturity and cause to grow, as difficult as that may be at times and even as offensive as it may be at times to your sensibilities. God will do that within the context of a people, a called out people with their elders and deacons within the context of local knots of believers, which is the local church. What happens to people that are not in church? Have you ever thought of that? After years of looking at this and working amongst believers, I've put some things down that I've noticed about people. What happens to people who are not in church? Who are not a part of something like this? And I mean, I think you understand by now that it's not signing your name on a piece of paper and paying some kind of membership fee and getting a certificate to hang on your wall. That's got nothing. That's about as far from this. That's what I'm talking about now. Is what you possibly can get. This is about you. You know, I did. I studied overseas for a period of 3 years in the UK, and when I was on my way back, I did my PhD there at Oxford University, and I was offered a senior position to be a researcher, which is what I'd always wanted to be. And I got myself involved with an incredible group of scientists who were really on the edge of their field, and I'd been invited to be part of this group and take a job. And I said to my wife, to whom my wife now, who was my fiance then, I'm coming home to get married and we're coming back to the UK. I've been offered this incredible job. I mean, how often does a common old garden vet get offered a job to work in a group in Oxford? Not often. And I was extremely excited about this, and yet I battled with it. And I came home, and I flew over for the interview, and on the plane over, it came to a point, and I was journaling, and I wrote down three reasons why I couldn't take the job. It was difficult, and as much as I wanted to do it, and one of those reasons was I realized that I could not transplant to Oxford what God was doing with me and my life in 3CI. And if I did, I'd miss out on what the processes that God was putting me through, which I dearly loved. And I'm telling you, the importance and the significance and the profound consequence of joining a body of believers and allowing the processes of God to work their way out through your life, you underestimate it at times. Sometimes I think the most important things that I've ever done and that have ever happened to me have happened in a brief moment of time with brothers and sisters in a local body. So what happens to people not in a church? They reach a ceiling in their growth and their maturity. They show childish traits in adulthood, and they're never forced to face the realities of their own immaturity. You can be all by yourself and be a child and never really realize that you're truly immature. In a body, you can't hide that. You know, one of the reasons people don't like joining churches is because they get to be known. And that's one of the most important things for every human being, to be known by others. And sometimes that's a very embarrassing mirror. All the immaturities get thrown up in a family. You ask my wife. She sees me as I really am, not as I am when I stand here in front of you looking all wonderful. My immaturities, my short temper, all my weakness, she'll tell you the truth. Because we live in a family. And my brothers on the front row know my immaturities and weaknesses here too. I can't hide them, but that's hugely advantageous. I'm not living in some la-la land. I'm Andy, and I know about my weaknesses, and my brothers help me through those things. And that can be an embarrassing thing. They live with a deep sense of orphanhood, often completely unaware. They live untaught, malnourished, like a kid that only ever eats condensed milk and custard because that's what they choose to eat. If you let your kids eat, I've got three kids. If I let them eat whatever they wanted to eat, they'd eat chocolate and custard and meringues and cream and rubbish, sweets. And you know what that would do to them? Well, I mean, if you're not going to be part of a local church where the diet from the pulpit is regular, solid scripture and theologically based and healthy, you're going to diet yourself and all sorts of, and you'll go on hobby horses and get yourself on some strange pluck that in 3 or 4 years' time you'll look just completely weird. Church will stop you going weird. You've met people like that. They get off on some kind of pluck, and that's their thing. It's all they can talk about. It's the solution to everybody's problem is the single little revelation that they've got from some obscure little verse in Zephaniah. You've met people like that. You come to a church with the teaching and the home groups, and it's worked out amongst us, and we talk about it. The diet is vegetables and broccoli, and sometimes it's fillet steak, and every now and again there's a piece of chocolate in the middle there. They never really understand the fellowship of believers. They are unshepherded, and what becomes of unshepherded sheep? They tend to fall away, fall into heresy, become super spiritual, and just weird. They give themselves over to all sorts of things that are not God's way. They never do the hard work of learning to get along in a family. Spiritual life becomes very artificial and very superficial. You want to know what it's like trying to get on with Stephen? It's hard work. But it's good for both of us. They grow up unparented, which means they have all sorts of issues. You know, when I joined this church, I had baggage. I now have hand luggage. And some of you wanting to join this church have baggage. That's fine. You'll lose it along the way. They become sheriffs of the church. Have you ever noticed the people who are not in church know the best about how church should be? And they never find the perfect one. They tend always towards arrogance. They've got it right, and they've got it better than any church leader or pastor. They're given to being sucked into every wind of doctrine, and they're into whatever's doing the rounds, the latest spiritual fad or the passing phases of whatever's most popular at the time. They never learn to submit to or love authority, whether it's God's authority or human authority. Anything that looks vaguely like a church leader is viewed with tremendous suspicion instead of trust. And that's got to compromise your growth as a believer. They will inevitably end up needing all the church's people without being part of a church to do whatever it is they want to do in ministry. Have you ever noticed that? They gather disaffected, critical, skeptical, sarcastic, and church hurt people, and all they have in common is those elements. That's not a pretty fellowship. They cultivate the spirit of the age, which is individualism. What do they get people saved into? How could they ever make disciples for Jesus like that? So why do I go to church? I can tell you why I go to church, because this is my family. This is where I'm a son in the house. This is where I see marriage modeled. You know, when I married my wife, I was 40 years old and hadn't a clue about how to be a husband. But you know how I learned to become a husband? My wife taught me some of it. But but I watched the men that I respected and loved and who did marriage well. And without even knowing it, they preached a sermon to me in this body, week in and week out, daily. I watched other husbands do it. Then I had kids and I watched other parents do it. I watch people, how they do money, and I learned to do money. This is my family. This is where I have fathers and mothers, and this is where I learn how to do life. And where I in turn get to teach others how to do life through setting an example and sometimes through speaking. It provides me with relationships. It stops me from degenerating into pure functionalism. You know, if your marriage was nothing but functionalism, that's, you know, marriage must have spice in it. Let's be honest. There needs to be a date every now and again. And I'm convinced that local church life provides you with the opportunity to escape the religiosity and the functionalism of an organization and find yourself within the context of a family. It provides you an opportunity for your gifts to be discovered and expressed. And it allows you an opportunity to discover yourself and be genuine and real and take the mask off, because it won't be able to be worn for very long. I believe in local church. I don't believe that there's any other way to do life. And if this is the church that you choose to join, if this is the church where you feel the Holy Spirit's put you, this will be a significant part of the culture of this body of believers. God bless you.